which you might smell. We'll get to the message.
Spooday. Spooday, I think I'm saying that right. So let's call one Spooday. So it's zealousness, and it's used quite a bit in this chapter. If you look in this chapter, it's used at least 7 times. So those of us that, you know, kids, you remember this from Bible interpretation. If you see a word a lot of times, what do we call that word? A keyword. Good job, Travis. Nice. A keyword. So there's several keywords in this passage. And if a word is used a lot, you may want to take notice of it and say, huh, I wonder why that's so important. And so Paul uses this word zealousness or eagerness over and over in this passage. You know, and for Paul, this idea of zealousness is very important. You see him use zealousness throughout all of his letters. And I like this. One commentator said this well, so let me read his quote. He said, "This zeal is once again regarded as the fruit of the Spirit." We often know this zeal and the fruit of the Spirit. But in this passage, Paul says it's a grace that was given. A gift, charis, grace. You know, and so there's this idea that Spirit. And this, Connor says, it means that it means that all are to display the same zeal. It is not to be lacking in anyone. It is thus part of being a Christian. Think about that. You talk about zeal as part of being a Christian, as an evidence in your life of the Spirit's work. Here then, the concept takes on a universal and radical significance as a note of the true Christian who knows what he or she is and who is not going to lose what has been given. So our zeal comes from our heart and our what often? Where your heart is, where your what is, there your heart will be. What did Jesus say? Your treasure, right? Your wallet is some form of trouble. Where our treasure is, there our hearts will be. And where our hearts are is zeal will be. Zeal is an emotion. It comes, it's that you value something a lot. Alright? So that is why Jesus taught us to put treasure where? In heaven. Not on earth where moth and rust and downturns in the economy, like we've all been feeling, they crush it. Right? Put your treasure in heaven where nothing can touch it. Alright? So if our treasure is in heaven, what is it directed towards if it's in heaven? God, His kingdom, what He values. And what's our thing this year? Okay, right relationship. God and others. You think that's pretty high on God's priority list, right? What's the great commandment? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and prophets hang on these two things. So, if you and I are going to be zealous about something, it would be best to be zealous about what matters most to God, which is that people are in right relationships with God and that they're in right relationships with each other. And our treasure, our wallet, should follow that. And we should rejoice when we're able to contribute towards that happening in our lives. So, when we let God change our heart and its focus and maybe our treasure so that our heart follows, we are filled with His love and it will change what our treasure is and our zeal will follow. So, you might say, well, Eric, I'm not too zealous for these things. We can become more zealous by actually doing it and your heart will follow. So, heart is to give. You know, it's sometimes spiritual discipline, but as you put your treasure towards something, your heart is going to follow that, and your soul will follow that. And what's interesting, Paul says here is, you know, I'm not saying this as a commandment, but rather that you may do this for your good. Because he doesn't want them to give under compulsion, that word at the end is compulsion. It's not like a tax. And unfortunately, a lot of us, you get it. It's sort of like a tax. It's like, okay, I did my 10% tax to God. I'm good. Right? Paid my tax. Satisfied the big man. And gift that we give out of a gracious gratitude, thanksgiving heart. Even brought in right relation with God out of His lavish grace that He's poured out on us, that makes us want to lavishly bless others and to be about His kingdom. So, are we Grace Fellowship? Are we letting God cultivate a zealous generosity in us? Are we allowing Him to cultivate a zealous generosity in us? And that is what 1 Corinthians 8:9 is talking about. So if you struggle with a zealous generosity, spend some time, camp out in 2 Corinthians 8:9. Those are some good chapters to really dig deep into this theology of why this matters and how to have it begin to matter. So not only are we called to cultivate a zealous generosity, number two, let God cultivate a ready generosity. So, ding, 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 here's another key word, ready. If you look at this passage, there's lots of times that word ready is used. What was interesting is I was digging in, there was one spot I didn't expect it, and it's not often, most of the translation, it's not the word that's used. Verse 19, when he says, will, that's actually the same word to show our readiness. So I thought it was interesting one more time. So I went through and I was circling all those. Let's see, in all of chapter 8, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times again. So 7 and 7, that's like a good number, I guess. So readiness, let the cultivate a readiness, not just a zealousness, but a readiness. Sometimes we can be zealous for things, but we don't complete them. Have you ever started a project and then it never got done? I know. I'm sorry, but guys, a lot of times we get accused that by our wives, right? We start something, but we don't finish it. But I'm sure ladies will struggle with that too, but I won't go there today. But guys, you know, we sometimes start things, we get excited about stuff, and then it's out of business. There's not that readiness to do what it takes to see it through. So what Paul's talking to them here, he said, last year you guys got really excited 8:16 began with thanksgiving to God. It's not a not to participate willingly in the collection as an act of worship to God doesn't remove one from the church. It merely indicates that one is not part of God's people to begin with. Let me read that last sentence. This is a sobering thing to think about. Hence, not to participate willingly in the collection as an act of worship to God does not remove one from the church. It merely indicates that one is not part of God's people to begin with. It's a pretty strong statement. I had to pause after I read that. I was like, huh, do I agree with that? I was looking at what Paul's saying. It seems to match up here. If you and I are not willing to allow God to cultivate a zealous and ready generosity in our lives, at the very least, it should be a warning sign for us to examine our spiritual health. Do you and I really get God's grace for us? How lavishly it was poured out on us? Because if you get that, you will have a generous heart. You will gladly want to bless others. It will not be an exaction. It will be a joy. So if we are experiencing, like when we come opportunities to be generous, if we have a grudging heart towards it, that's a good sign to go to God and say, God, what's wrong with my heart? What's going on here? And let him begin to do some surgery, his light over that. So, I don't know, I do know where you are. We talked about last week how generosity is a hard thing for other people to nail down in us because it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. If only you know what's going on in your heart. So, this is a good word for us just to be honest with ourselves. God, what's going on? Look, I like that psalm. It says, search my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me out of that. So, Rich Fellowship, how is your heart? Where is your treasure? These are good questions we've been asking ourselves on a regular basis. And if either is in the wrong place, we can ask God to change our hearts. Lord, cultivate in me a zealous and ready heart. And that's a thing you can pray for yourself. You can pray for others. It's a great request for your family, for yourself. So number three, you know, not only is the purpose zealous and, right, so what is the purpose of this zealous and ready generosity? And that leads us to the last point, number three. Let God, so if you can follow along, get to number three, okay? Let God cultivate a generosity in you for his glory. For his glory. You know, the health and wealth gospel is be generous for your own returns, right? You hear that? Give and you will be blessed. Yes, that's true, but that's not the reason that we give. kingdom and right relationships. Let's do it for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord, we want to have that kind of heart. And Lord, where we're lacking that, we recognize that you are the one that cultivates it. We saw in this passage how you are the one that gave Titus that desire, that eagerness, that zeal to go back and help. You can give us that. So Lord, where we're lacking in this, we say, God, help us. Change our hearts, oh God. Open the eyes of our hearts that they could see things the way you see, that they would love the things you love, that we would put our treasure where you say the treasure is best put. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as a benediction, we usually stand. If you're able to, if you can't, we all just put our hands up, so wherever you're at, put your hands up, just an act of receiving. Go forth this week, letting God cultivate.